All right. So should we do this before everything else just dies?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's before the internet craps out or Skype craps out or we get bombed by North Korea.
All things that could happen
within the next 20 minutes.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, the Caps have returned from Western Canada. We know Ovechkin is he has.
Did they ever actually go to Western Canada?
Some of them went to Western Canada. Some of them stayed home to nurse some injuries. Ovi's coming back.
Some of their bodies were just there, but their minds weren't.
Ovi is coming back with one less coat, which we know about. But joining me as always to talk about that Western Canadian road trip didn't really end the way the Caps would have liked. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
It didn't end the way they would have liked. It didn't start it the way they would have liked. It didn't go the way they would have liked. That's a good way to put it, actually.
Yeah, exactly. The Western Canadian road trip usually is filled with, photos of Ovi in a cowboy hat and the guys having fun, enjoying Vancouver nightlife. But this one's a lot different. Again, this year, this season for the Capitals is so different than what we've seen in the past because now the Caps are yet again plagued with injuries, being one of the healthiest teams in the last 2 years. Now we have Brett Connolly going down after the game in Vancouver. What does it mean? I don't think he's on injury reserve or anything, but he did miss the next two games of the Canadian road trip. Do you know what's going on with Connolly?
Well, as his close personal friend, I can tell you that I have no idea.
Yeah, you guys, you're buddies, your homies.
Yeah, we hang out on weekends and such, and we do each other's hair. I don't know specifically what's going on with Connolly, but I find it interesting that when teams have these issues where players go down, is when you get your depth tested, and right now it's not going so well.
Well, that was one of the big things, wasn't it, the last 2 years, is how good the depth was for the Capitals and how if a player went down, Hershey was just filled with all these NHL-ready stars, and that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, about that. Nope. And there's a lot of different reasons you could say this team is having trouble in terms of depth. It's we've moved out a bunch of guys and we haven't necessarily replaced them with ready-made players. And part of the problem with that being unable to do that is that you don't have the cap space because you have guys that are making too much money. And so I was looking, thinking about this before we started recording that this offseason really was just not planned at all by the general manager, by Brian McClellan. And his staff, I think they did the more you look at it, the more you realize they really didn't do that good of a job. I understand the need to bring up some young guys and eventually, expose them to the NHL and see what they've got. And that's all part of the plan.
And that's working for guys like Christian Jews, who's looked really good this season.
Yes, that has worked out well for him. And he was like a 19th round pick or something. They didn't even have that many rounds. That's how far back he was picked. but it's one of those things where, when guys go down, and they'd be lucky with injuries in the past, but, if you look at this team last year, a guy would go down and you'd bump up someone like Marcus Johansson to a higher line, or you'd bump up Burakovsky, even though he's out now. But now, if a guy like Burakovsky goes down, you're bumping up Tom Wilson or Devontae Smith-Pelly, who looked decent in when he was playing on the top line. But this team doesn't have the depth they used to. And if you look at it, they really don't have the depth in goal scoring from their forward ranks. Last year you could have called up someone like Jacob Vrana, but he's a mainstay now.
Yeah.
So if you look at Hershey, the guy to call up is Chandler Stephenson, and he scored a goal. Was his first in the NHL or first? I think that was his first in the NHL. So congrats to him.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at their minor leagues, you know, you look at the goaltending in the minor leagues right now for the Capitals, and you're going, damn, yeah, this team's actually got pretty good. Behind Holtby, you got Grubauer, who could probably be a starter for most teams in the NHL if they, you know, they don't have their starter, if they need one. You're looking at the kid over in Russia, Samsonov. You're looking at, you know, we don't know exactly who we have in Vanacek or Phoenix Copley. But they've definitely got goaltending depth. Defensive depth, we're seeing it now with Christian Juice and Madison Bowie. We've got Sengen Thaler and Lucas Johansson and Lewington and, you know, Connor Pops, I think, is a defenseman. Why am I blanking on that? And a couple other guys that, you know, you're looking at going, okay, they've got some good, you know, guys to test out in the forward ranks in terms of being able to play solid defense. But then when it comes to goal scoring guys in the minors or guys they've drafted, there's no one that comes off the top of your head besides Jacob Vrana.
Yeah, it seems like, oh, the depth was there the last 2 years, but when you get rid of the talent up top, and you're like, all right, now it's time to go into that depth, and then you get injuries on top of that as well, the depth is really tested because you're going twice, you know, as deep into your backups that you have. We're seeing guys that, you know, we weren't really expecting to see, and they're kind of just getting thrown right in there because, I mean, half the team right now feels like there is being made up of Hershey Bears.
Whether they should be or, it makes you wonder in terms of our – he's someone like Madison Bowie coming up a little too early, but, you know, he's still young. It's going to take some time for him to get better. And defensemen, you tend to see, at least you used to see more in later in their career, you know, in their mid to late 20s, that they really establish themselves in the NHL. Bowie's only 22.
Yeah, he's a youngin.
He's still a youngin. Christian Juice is only 23. He's still got time, but he's playing well.
But you got a guy who's playing the most minutes of the entire defense right now.
Orpik's playing a ton of minutes, and he's been steady,
yeah,
but he's getting more minutes than you want him to get. He's doing more, and he does a lot of great things. You always hear about the great things he does in the locker room, and those are fantastic, especially when you have young guys like Bowie and Juice on the roster. Maybe that's part of McClellan's thinking, is that, you know what, I know I'm gonna have to bring up these young guys at some point. I mean, Aaron Ness isn't exactly an old man, so I know I'm gonna have a bunch of young guys play. Ness is 27, which in, you know, NHL terms is started at the peak of his career. But between Bowie and Juice and potentially, you know, a couple other young guys that may come up, it makes sense to have Orpik on the roster. But does it make enough sense that you're willing to take that cap hit? And it looks like McClellan said yes. I don't know. Because what I've seen so far, this team is definitely not the same team we've seen in these last couple of seasons. And I think for fans, it's – I mean, I don't know if disappointing is the right word, but it's because we're expecting this team to be better. Because that's what we've seen these last number of years. You think of a team that, you know, a high-flying scoring team always running around or skating around, hitting everybody, and they play a solid, at least offensive game. And they're sort of, their defensive errors are, you know, cleaned up by the offense. In the last year or two, they actually were very solid defensively. And now it's not quite the same. You've lost Alzner. You've lost Shattenkirk. And I know you didn't like Shattenkirk, but he was a decent player.
Nah.
You lost Schmidt. You know, you've lost Marcus Johansson. You lost Justin Williams. And, like, these moves make sense. But then you look at it and you're like, well, Alzner maybe couldn't have been the worst thing to keep around. And, you know, Johansson, that his offensive output would have been helpful, especially when a guy like Burkowski goes down. So it's tough. It's tough right now. And the fact is they can't make a lot of moves to be able to fix things. It's not like they just go out and make a trade because they don't have any freaking cap space to do it. And the only way you're going to get a cap space back is by moving someone out. And it's not, you know, no one's going to take Orpik, or it's highly unlikely they're going to take Orpik. So who do you move out to be able to free up that cap space?
And I think maybe you were talking about the fans.
Exactly.
The fans and, like, their perspective on it. I think maybe the fans are impatient is really the best word for them, because if you think about it, there was a 2-year window and the Caps were, you know, they were going to win the Stanley Cup. They got two President's trophies. And normally when a lot of players leave, their contracts are up and you do a team rebuild, it's after a championship. And the fact that the Capitals don't have that championship, maybe that does get some of the fans out there a little ticked off, a little annoyed, and a little impatient that we're still waiting for that Stanley Cup, and we're going through the rebuild again. So I think...
Well, I would call it a rebuild. I would call it a they're retooling.
Restructuring.
To some extent. It's a nice way to put it. We've seen this before. We saw this with Chicago, now given it was after a championship or a really good run. You know, you go and you restructure, to use your words, and you sort of move a couple of guys around because you don't have the cap space anymore, but you got something from it. But it also felt like when they did that, they moved out guys for nothing because they had ready-made replacements and they weren't putting themselves into salary cap hell again until they were ready to make another run. The Caps are not ready to make a run this year, at least not at this moment, and they're in salary cap hell.
Yeah.
So the difference between the Blackhawks, aside from the championships, is that they were prepared to build around the young guys, and when they were ready, make trades to be able to make something out of it. And the Caps just can't do that right now because anybody they move out is either going to be someone they want to keep or someone that's not going to free up enough cap space to actually do anything.
And with that, they've been moving some people around due to injuries, and Tyler Graovac has officially gone on injury reserve. He was just kind of hanging out there for a little bit, but they officially put him on there to make room for another Hershey Bear who was taking Brett Connolly's spot and Anthony Peluso. I don't know a lot about him. We saw him in two back-to-back games this weekend, but he's not really a name I know, and I didn't think he would be one of the guys called up.
Well, Peluso, let's look at his career NHL stats. He's played 144 games, so not bad. He was drafted in 2007 by St. Louis in the sixth round. He's got 4 goals, 10 assists, or 14 points. He's a minus 3, but who cares about that? And he's got 213 penalty minutes.
It's a lot of minutes.
So... and you know, he might be a little bit more like a guy, a physical guy, which is fine. But
we already have Tom
not
Wilson.
Someone who's gonna not. Yeah, there's that. I mean, that's the guy you could. He doesn't make a ton of money, but you can move him out if you wanted to free up some salary cap space, or at least, you know, find another guy that can maybe score every once in a while. But Peluso, if we're even saying his name right, because we never know, he's one of those guys that he's a bottom six or even, you know, bottom the fourth line player who's going to come in and mix it up and grind it out, and he's not going to score a lot of goals, and the team just doesn't need that right now. They need someone who's going to put the puck in the back of the net.
And why do you think it was Barry Trotz's decision to play Peluso in back-to-back games when you have Nathan Walker sitting there in the press box during that whole time? Why aren't you doing like you do with Grubby and Holtby and split the back-to-backs, have one player in, one player out, and then they swap? Why is Nathan Walker sitting on the sidelines while this new guy who's getting adjusted to the Capitals system and the NHL, I mean, he's been in the NHL for a long time, not really big changes for him, but still, Nathan Walker's been around this team a little bit longer than Peluso. Why does Nathan Walker, you know, get – why is he in the
– why is he not playing?
Why is he wearing a suit on game day?
You know, I was wondering that too. And it's sort of tough to say. I mean, there could be things that we don't know about, obviously, in terms of his play and how he's doing. It could be that they just don't feel like he's the right guy at this moment for this team. But it doesn't seem like anybody necessarily is with the way they've been playing, especially in that game against Vancouver where they just got embarrassed. So – it's tough to say why he's not playing. You'd have to be in the locker room or, you know, talking to the coaches to figure out exactly what's going on. I'd be curious to find out if there's a reason they felt Peluso was a better choice than Walker. I don't know if I go so far as to say that, like, Walker should be the overwhelming favorite to play every night. He's still a young guy at 23. It's his first, you know, season in the NHL, so he's got time. But and we've seen in the past that Trotz brings guys along slowly. We saw that with Burkowski he would put up in the press box. And a couple other guys, he might, you know, just give him some time out to sort of watch and learn. And maybe that's what they're doing with Walker, and he'll play more and more as the season goes on. But it's, you know, it's not working right now. And I'm surprised that Walker's not getting a little bit more time.
I'm a little confused about that, too, because this kind of seems like it's one of Barry Trotz's MOs. He has the talent. He sits a lot of that talent. We saw him do this last year with Nate Schmidt. Now, everybody went crazy when Nate Schmidt got back into the lineup, and he was playing in the amazing in the playoffs, and everyone's like, how could you have benched this guy? Is there something that Barry Trotz sees that we don't with these younger players that maybe don't have as much experience, and he's benching them for reasons we don't know. I mean, it does seem to be like one of maybe Barry Trotz's downfalls, that he doesn't give certain guys a shot.
Well, I think it's more he's just I think it's something where, you know, young guys he likes to bring along slowly. He doesn't want to force them into it. And we've seen in the past where young guys have come up too early, Tom Wilson, and have been playing all the time, and then they struggle. And we've seen young guys that can come up and just play every night and be okay. I think to some extent that's probably what he'd like to be doing with Vrana, but he doesn't really have a choice because they don't have anybody else that's going to shoot the puck besides Ovechkin.
Yeah.
And Oshie. So it's tough to say. I expect, provided Trotz is still the coach, as we get later into the season, that Walker will probably play more and more. But it's not like when these guys come back from IR, this team is suddenly going to be so much better. I mean, look who's on IR right now. Niskanen definitely will help, at least defensively. He definitely will help when he comes back. But he wasn't actually lighting it up. In five games, he had one assist.
Yeah.
So offensively, he wasn't contributing all that much. Tyler Graevec has 0 points in three games, so he's useless offensively. And Brett Connolly has one goal and one assist in 10 games. So it's not like he was contributing all that much offensively. So when you look at it, really, I don't know how this team is going to start scoring more goals.
They just don't have the talent to do it. I mean, Ovechkin's going to have to do everything. Remember that one, that old commercial where he scored 9 goals himself called the Ovech trick? They're actually going to to make him do that.
And I mean, they might. He's got 15. He's got 10 goals. He's slowed down a little bit goal scoring wise. Let's see. His last 5 games, he's got 1 goal. Actually, the last time Ovechkin scored was against Detroit on October 20th. Wow. He has not scored a goal in over 12 days or 4 games. So it's not really that big a deal. I mean, hopefully he'll score tomorrow. But the point is, after Ovechkin and Oshie, no one has more than 3 goals. That's a problem. They're not getting enough goal scoring from this team right now, and I don't see how they're going to from the roster as constructed. I think they have to go out and make a trade to bring in more goal scoring. I speak good words. See, this is what happens when we record at 9:48 at night.
Yeah.
I think they have to go out and they need to make a trade. I just don't freaking see how they're going to do that without moving out someone they don't want to. Think about it this way, all right? So the logical trade bait is Philip Grubauer. His stats aren't great this year, but it's not like he's getting a lot of help. He is a good goalie. He's only 25, so he's got plenty of years left in him. And if you're a team that really needs a goaltender, you kinda might like go out and decide. But they have guys. They're just all broken. But if you want a goaltender, Grubauer is coming in cheap. He's going to be a restricted free agent next year, but at only $1.5 million. It's not like he's going to cost a lot next year. The problem here is this for the Capitals. Let's say you move out Grubauer and you get only a draft pick, which would be stupid, but not the point. You have to then replace Grubauer because Holtby's not playing every single freaking game. So let's say you go out and you replace him with Vitek Vanacek, which is not going to happen. Half of that salary cap space, a little under half, now just got taken up by that backup goal, or the backup goaltender. Or you bring in Phoenix Copley, who you only actually are saving yourself. Hold on, I have to do math. 850,000? Yeah, about 850,000 in cap space. So that's not enough. And I think you were the one last week we were talking about, you move out Grubauer and Tom Wilson.
I was thinking that, but if you actually look,
that's 3.5 million in cap space that you could be saving. And if you use that, because let's say you bring up Copley, so it's really like 2.85 in cap space. So now you have 2.85 to play with in terms of trading for another team's goal scorer. Assuming someone's just going to give one up.
Right. But, I mean, even having Phoenix Copley or Vitek Vanacek come up is kind of hard. Both of them are just now returning to practice with the Bears. So even
There's that problem, too.
If you could do that, I mean, that's kind of hard to have those guys do that if they're not even playing. The other one, what was the Russian machine was talking about it, how Devontae Smith-Pelly is just not doing well this year, and they're calling for him to get traded. I don't really know if you could get anything for him. He seems like a lower-tiered guy that you kind of put.
No. Well, that's weird because I was reading that he got promoted to the first line.
Yeah, and he's not doing well on that first line. You can tell he's
well, no, because he's way out of his league. The depth there in terms. I mean, I'm sure he's a very good hockey player, but not in terms of the first line on an NHL team that should be pushing for a playoff run. And you know what? I like Smith Pelly as a fourth line guy. I think he's very good there. I think you leave him there. His cap hit is only $650,000, so it's a good deal. The problem is still that they don't have enough top-line guys, especially when guys go down. Connolly wasn't producing, and Burakovsky wasn't producing, and now he's out. And you have zero guys to replace him with. Burakovsky had 4 points in 9 games, and only one of those was a goal. That's a problem. He needs to be scoring more, and I think what they need to do is they need to bring in someone who can play on the third line that also can score goals, that can then step into one of the top two lines when someone like Burakovsky goes down. They don't have that at the moment, and I don't see how they're going to get it without making a big trade. And unless they get someone to take Orpik, which would be a freaking miracle,
I don't see
how it's possible. They're not – all right, so they're big money guys. Ovechkin, he's not going anywhere. Kuznetsov, oh, man, that could have been money saved. Not going anywhere. Backstrom, not going anywhere. Oshie, not going anywhere. So now you're looking at Lars Eller, 3.5.
Who loves the penalty box.
Is anyone
Let me tell you, this year, Lars Eller in that penalty box.
They must have put some nachos in there or something.
There's something good in there. He's not sharing.
What was that commercial from years ago where they had something? It was a beer commercial, and they had it in the penalty box, and players kept taking penalties, and eventually it was just the goalies shooting pucks back and forth. Do you remember that commercial?
I don't, but that sounds great.
I was going to try to find that later on YouTube. Oh, God, was it food or was it a beer commercial? Or pizza? Domino's? Video game? I don't remember. Anyways, I mean, even if you move out these guys, you know, you're going to bring in something. But let's say you move out Eller, who's taking his third line center spot? Actually, at this point, maybe you put Beagle there and Chandler Stevens is now your fourth line guy.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's possible. I mean, how's Stevens? Stevens, you know, he's got a goal in 3 games. I'd be curious to see his face-off percentage. 45.45. That's not bad. It's not great, but it's not that bad. I mean, it's not as good as Eller's, but Eller's is about 50%, a little over 50%. So it could be better, but it does free up some cap space. Then you got Burakovsky at 3. You're not moving him. You got Wilson at 2. If you move him, you know, what are you going to get in return? You're not going to move Beagle. You're not going to move Connolly. And then defensively, Orpik costs 5.5. He's going to be the best guy to move out, but no one's going to take him. Orlov is 5.1. You're not going to move him. Carlson, you're not going to move, and he's a restricted free agent, or unrestricted, I should say, at the end of the season, so that's a problem. And then no one else was worth anything financially, not as a person. That sounded meaner than I meant. But there's, you know, they're in a tough spot, and if you go and you look at this team, you look at it going, this was not a good offseason. They spent too much money on some guys, didn't get rid of other guys that cost too much money one way or another, and don't have the depth that they need for this to be. This is not a team that's going to win the cup. This is a team that is going to fight to get the playoffs, in the playoffs as of right now. And they'll get better. Juice is going to get better. Not that he's playing poorly now, but he's going to get better. Bowie, you like to think, is going to get better. And you have to think, you have to hope and pray that some of these guys are going to start scoring goals. I mean, Connolly, what did he get last year? Like 10 goals? Yeah. You expect him to be able to match, if not exceed that. He's only 25, so Connolly's not exactly like an old man. But you have higher expectations for these guys, and they're not meeting it right now. They had 15 goals. You expect him to meet, if not exceed that, especially since he'll get, if he can get healthy, more games than just 66 that he got last year. And we're not getting that right now from this team. And, you know, you look at it and you go, I think they need to make a trade.
Yeah, maybe that is the answer. It's obvious that...
But how?
Yeah, but how is right, and that's why you and I are not the general managers of this team.
I think you're right from what you said. I think it was last week or the week before that you packaged Grubauer and Wilson for a goal score.
I would be okay with that.
I don't know if you said for a goal score, but you said that's what you do. Or you move Eller. They can't move Orpik. I don't see...
No.
Unless someone takes him on, I don't see any general manager being dumb enough. Is Garth Snow still in charge with the Islanders? Because he's dumb. He might do it.
I have never, ever been a Lars Eller fan. He loves the penalty box. He's too slow. It took him a long time to learn the system here. I don't think he has the skill set built for this team. I'm not a fan. If he were to leave, I'd be okay with it. Tom Wilson is Tom Wilson. I think they expected a lot more from him when he was drafted. He's been in this league long enough to know what to do and what not to do, but he's still Tom Wilson. So if we get rid of Lars Eller, I'd be fine. But right now, the Caps are stuck. They are stuck with Hershey Bears and injured players. And
are you on Twitter right now?
I am not.
Sorry. I was just watching it. John Buchergrass just put up a picture of Connor McDavid just embarrassing the Penguins. Holy crap.
All right, Connor McDavid, not bad. However, Yevgeny Kuznetsov still wins the week for craziest goal that I've
that
seen.
That was pretty. That was pretty.
So that's the second time that he's done this now, is that he looks like he's just circling around the net and then whoop, just so slightly taps that goal in right behind the goalie. I mean, if I was the opposing team, I would be so angry at the guy.
I think at that point you just take off your gloves and start clapping because it was pretty goal.
Oh, bro, you got us.
Well, duh. This is a funny story. I had a coach in high school in baseball. We were playing another school and they were building a new field, but they hadn't built the fence yet. And so they were talking to the umpires and the guy goes, okay, so if the ball is hit and bounces and rolls past the fence, put your hands up. It's a ground rule double. One of the guys on my team goes, what happens if it goes over where the fence is supposed to be? Coach says, put down your glove and start clapping because it's a home run. Oh, that was good. But yeah, Kuznetsov definitely had a nice goal, and he's got, what, 3 in his past couple of games, so it's nice to see he's starting to wake up, and maybe he'll start scoring some goals because Lord knows they need it.
They absolutely do. So anything else going on in Caps world?
Oh, isn't there so much? The power play is struggling.
Yes.
That's a problem. They got no goals in their last 9 power plays. Oof. That's not good for a team with this kind of offensive power.
Yeah.
So that's got to wake up. They're taking more penalties than they're earning. And Trotz thinks it's because other teams are diving. He thinks they're going down too easy. He made a comment at soccer at the expense of the phenomenal game that is soccer.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. In terms of if that's the case, people are diving too much. But I think some of it is the new crackdown on slashing penalties. And, you know, I got to be honest, the slashing penalty is kind of lazy. Slashing and hooking are two, and tripping are the penalties that annoy me the most, besides dumping it over, delay a game because you put it over the glass, because that's really easy not to do. Because it annoys me because they're lazy penalties because you're not moving your feet. You're not moving your skates. They really should be doing better in that regard. However,
the slashing penalties, that's like half the reason why this roster is so depleted, right?
Because they're all in the penalty box?
No, because the
no, I'm just kidding.
that Niskanen got hurt on a slash, and I think that's the same thing happened with Grayovac, or I think he got hit. But
he was actually vacuuming his house. Sorry. No, don't. That was dumb.
But I mean, that's what it seems like. That I mean, they're getting injured more because they're getting slashed more.
Well, I mean, if they're cracking down on slashing, you'd think it'd be less. I don't think the slashing necessarily makes a difference in the long run because people have always been slashing. The refs are just cracking down on it more now.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think part of the problem is that, you know, I think injuries sometimes are just bad luck. I mean, the Niskanen one wasn't a check. It was just awkward.
Right. It wasn't anywhere even near his wrist, but I mean, that's what got injured.
It's bad luck.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I mean, Connolly's out. You know, hopefully he'll be back soon. Not that he was putting up, you know, great offensive numbers anyways. Backstrom missed the Vancouver game with one of his illnesses, but he seems to be okay now. Burakovsky's still on the IR. Niskanen's still on the IR, but it sounds like he's skating on his own. And Grayovac is still on the IR, but he wasn't exactly contributing offensively. I mean, really, I hate to continue to repeat myself, but I really do think this team right now is missing offensive pieces, and I don't know if they necessarily can get them in-house. I think, again, I think they need to go outside the team and bring in someone who's going to be able to help them offensively, especially when players go down, because right now, as we've seen, I don't think there's anyone from Hershey that can come up to – I mean, there's a reason they're in Hershey, but you at least expect them to produce something, or you'd expect one of your guys on the third line to be able to jump up to the second line and produce. And we just don't have that right now. What was the third line at the start of the season?
It was...
Wasn't it like Connolly, Eller,
and
Wilson? No, he got
suspended. Chason.
Chason. These guys are not producing. So when they move up a line, as you would expect, should someone go down injured, they're not going to be able to... I mean, Chason's got 1 assist in 11 games. He's not the guy that's going to jump up. the logical choice, I guess, should have been Brett Connolly, but he's only got 2 points in 10 games.
A lot of mediocrity.
Yeah. Now, they're coming into a point where their next 13 the next 13 of their 18 games are at home. So it's certainly a good time to start writing the ship. But if I'm McClellan, I'm making phone calls.
I mean, that's what this Western Canadian road trip was supposed to do. It was supposed to write the ship. It was, oh, they're going to bond and they're going to be together. And that doesn't seem to work.
Yeah. No. Now, I mean, they may have bonded. It just didn't translate over onto the ice.
Well, I don't know. It's a lot of mediocrity. It's a lot of I mean, it's middle of the road. If this team is in the middle of the league standing wise, it's obvious why. And it just is. But it's hard to say that. It really is when you have one of the best in the world, Ovechkin. You've got one of the most talented, to be born in the USA, TJ Oshie. You've got Backstrom and Kuznetsov and Carlson. And it's a lot of talent on the ice, and to not produce doesn't make any sense to me. I really don't. I don't know
what. Because you need more than just those guys. You need to surround them with role players, and the role players aren't doing enough.
But like you said, Oshie is doing okay scoring wise. Kuznetsov's not really doing much. Backstrom's not doing as much goal scoring, but he is, I guess, working with assists, doing well there. But the third and fourth line, yeah, I mean, they're not doing their thing. Jay Beagle's probably the only thing that's actually working on the bottom six, because the dude is just a grinder. But I don't know. Maybe time
Which
will...
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what it is. But he does it well. The problem is you need someone that's on that third line that can jump up, and they don't have that right now. No. And without it, when a guy like Burakovsky goes down, who also wasn't producing, then you're in trouble. But you also need these guys on the third and fourth line to produce every once in a while. And they're certainly the once in a while. I mean, you still got a bunch of guys that have not scored a goal. Tom Wilson's played 8 games. He's got 1 assist. It's like that line from Major League. I don't remember what he was saying. Maybe he said one hit, one goddamn hit. That's all we got from Tom Wilson right now is one goddamn assist. He got plenty of hits, I'm sure. He's not putting the puck in the net, and the guy's going to be making that much money, and you've been expecting him to do more.
Yeah.
But in other Caps news, congratulations are in order for John Walton, as he has been named the play-by-play man for the Olympic women's hockey games. Apparently, he almost drove off the road when they called to tell him that.
That's really cool, and
not the driving off the road part.
No. The fact that he gets to go to South Korea and call those games, what a great choice. He is a very hard worker, but how dare the Olympics not have NHL players but take the voice of the Capitals away?
Well, it's not the Olympics. It's the NHL that's not letting them have NHL players.
That's true. But John Walton, congratulations to him. He's done some stuff with NBC Sports before where he's called college games. So they've definitely tested him out a little bit. Zach Fish will be filling in for him from the Hershey Bears while he's gone. So we hate to see him go, but man, what an opportunity John Walton has, and the USA women's hockey team is a great team to follow, and there's a lot of talent on that team. But also, did you see the USA jerseys, sweaters for the Olympics?
Yeah, and they're garbage. Real quick, though, yes, congrats to Zach Fish for being able to come up and call the Caps game. This would be pretty awesome for him. They're also going to have Grady Wittenberg, who has called college and AHL games in the last, 30 years. He's going to come on and do road games while Walton's out.
Nice.
And Dave Johnson, who is the Wizards radio play-by-play man, as well as DC United's live TV play-by-play man, he will be filling in for Walton while he's out in South Korea. So that's pretty cool to have all these different voices. I'm going to keep thinking he's calling a DC United game when I hear Dave Johnson, but it's still kind of fun because it's in the back of the net. But yeah, it's the jerseys look like crap.
This is, we were kind of like on both sides of 4 years ago, whether or not the USA jerseys were any good.
Yeah, you liked them. I said, wait, no, did I like them? Or you
no,
liked
you
them?
Hated them. I thought they were passable. I kind of liked
them. Were we really on two different sides? It kind of sounds like we were on the same side. You were just nicer than I was.
I liked the shield. I thought that was cool. I liked the stars on the shoulders. But my God, these jerseys are straight from 1994. I know like that's the big thing right now is you want to be retro and you want to watch VHS tapes and listen to cassettes and stuff. But my God, this is like, do you remember back in the 90s when the MLB did like jerseys from the future? That's how bad.
Oh God, those were terrible.
That's how bad these jerseys are. And I don't understand the sleeve on these USA jerseys. There's these weird triangle things. To me, it looks like the BP logo, which BP, you know, for what they did to the golf, can, you know, SD because they're terrible. But that's what it looks like to me. The sleeves make no sense. And you go to Canada's, and Canada looks like they've got, like, tiger stripes on the sleeves. I don't know.
I didn't even look at the rest of them. I didn't feel like subjecting myself to that torture.
You know what? The NHL, the players right now are probably going, you know what, after seeing those jerseys, we can sit this one out. This is horrible.
You guys enjoy.
Sorry, Hillary Knight and the rest of the USA women's hockey team. You have to still go through with this. This is terrible. So, really bad jerseys. Like, I'm looking at them. I'm like, is this from, like, the Olympics from Atlanta in 96? That's what it looks like. It looks 20 years old. Like, a designer from back in the day came up and were like, oh, this is a great idea. All the kids are doing it. Terrible.
And then everybody realized it was a terrible, terrible idea.
And we're recording this, I have to say, on November 1st. It's 100 days until the Olympics begin. So if you're counting down, you know, we're going to be in double digits pretty soon. But I'm seriously bummed that there's no NHL players and these jerseys are just the worst things I've ever seen. This Olympics just sounds like it's going to be a complete downer. But I will be supporting Hillary Knight.
Jerseys aren't going to make it a downer. It's just, you know, it's the chance for Russia to actually win it.
I will be cheering on Hillary Knight and the USA women's hockey team, and I can't wait to hear John Walton call their games because he will do a fantastic job.
That is cool. That's going to be cool. One last bit of Caps news I actually thought I saw today, which I thought was pretty awesome. TJ Oshie got to hang out with one of his biggest fans on Tuesday as he spent time with Addie Flint. Oshie met Flint last year when the Caps hosted children from the Make-A-Wish Mid-Atlantic chapter for Hockey Fights Cancer Skate. Oshie ended up getting paired with Flint and then has just kept in touch with the family ever since.
Oh, that's cool.
I actually thought it was pretty awesome by him. So they got to hang out. I believe Flint is going to be attending Thursday's game, and we'll get to do some cool stuff. So that's pretty awesome to do for someone who is having their own battle.
Absolutely. And we know the NHL is going purple for Hockey Fights Cancer. And I believe that the Caps will be warming up in purple jerseys coming up. And the goaltenders will have purple masks that they'll be raffling off. So absolutely great that Oshie's kept in touch with that family. And they'll be at the game so they get to enjoy some Caps hockey. So good for them. So anything else going on in Caps world?
Yeah. Stop sucking.
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be nice. Put that on a poster. Put it up in the locker room.
Ovi said we will not be sucked this year, but he lied. But, you know, we had to say good guy Ovechkin went to Edmonton, saw someone who was homeless without a coat, and literally gave them the coat off their back. Apparently, Ovi does this a lot around D.C., doesn't really, like, look for publicity for it. Somebody saw him do it in Edmonton. That's pretty awesome.
Is he going to get, like, sick now because he's not wearing the right clothing?
No, he's Russian. He doesn't even need a coat.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. But good on you, Ovi. That was pretty cool.
I hadn't thought of that.
Now, if that homeless person would have asked Ovi for his autograph, he would have spit on him. But other than that.
All right. Settle down.
All right. So that's pretty much it for Caps World. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We are going down on the farm to talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 2-1 with wins over Providence and Hartford. It's nice to see them have a few wins after a bad start to the season. The Bears are currently 3-5-1. They'll be back at it with three games in a row, starting on Friday in Rochester, Saturday at the Giant Center against Toronto, and Sunday in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Let's hope they keep the wins coming. Let's head down to South Carolina. The Stingrays went 2-0 with both wins over Norfolk, or Norfolk, depending on where you're from. The Stingrays are off to a 4-0 start on the young season. Well done there. They'll be back at it on Friday in Greenville before going home on Sunday to play Jacksonville, followed up with a game on Tuesday at home against Reading. Or Reading. Brandon, I always forget, even when they're affiliated with Capitals.
It is Reading. Come on, man.
I don't care. In other Stingray news, the team had a few players moving back and forth between them and Hershey, but the biggest news is that the team has placed forward Jeremy Morin, who I believe we just talked about last freaking week, on their suspension list as he pursues an opportunity in Finland. Now, the Stingrays will retain his ECHL rights, but yeah, that was pretty interesting. I saw he got suspended, and I was like, damn, dude, didn't you just get there? And then I saw it's because he was, you know, it was like a technical thing because he's going to go play he probably wants to go play in Finland. So good for him. But yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
Hey guys, I'm going to go play in Finland. Fine, you're suspended.
Get out, you bet. No, it's not quite as bad as I think I was jokingly making it sound. Make it sound? I don't know.
For some reason, I just have that scene from The Office in my head of where Dwight takes over and he brings Jim into his office and goes, I'll pre-fire you. And Jim just goes, you wouldn't dare. Guess what? You're pre-fired. I don't know why that scene between the ECHL and this player got in my head. But
I'm suspending you, but I'm leaving. I don't care.
All right, well, that's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, guys, plenty of stuff going around the NHL. Some teams waiting for their first win. Did they get it? I don't know. We'll talk about it. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
I didn't even look that up. We really got to plan this better. I got two bits of news. Let's start technically it's in Vancouver, but we'll start with New Jersey. As we got some good news, as Brian Boyle will be making his season debut tonight in Vancouver. Boyle was diagnosed in September with chronic, I'm going to say this wrong, myeloid leukemia after getting a blood test done. So that's pretty awesome that he's able to come back and be playing right now.
All right.
So he would have, when this comes out tomorrow, he would have played last night.
Yeah.
Let me double check and make sure he's actually in the lineup.
I'm not editing the night.
That's true. It's going to come out tomorrow. Let me just check to make sure he's actually played. Where's Devils? Boyle. 1 minute, 13 seconds of ice time. He's played tonight. He's back.
All right.
Caps fans may not be huge fans of his because he is, he's kind of gotten to the Caps in the past, but you know what? We're all people in the long run, and the fact that he was able to come away after having leukemia is pretty cool. And also, Mark Streit announced his retirement from the NHL on Monday. The defenseman played 12 seasons in the NHL with Montreal, the Islanders, Philly, and Pittsburgh. That's the news for the best week in the NHL.
Now
I'm going to look it up and see if somebody actually got a win.
We do have to say congratulations to the Arizona Coyotes.
Oh, did they?
Finally got a win.
Yeah!
On October 30th, so they didn't go the entire month of October without a win. They got one.
Oh, my God. You got to imagine Shane Doan's like, whew.
3-1 against the Flyers in OT. Congratulations.
Maybe they'll take Orpik. Let's see how much cap space they have.
Didn't they take...
There's a helicopter going over my house right now. I don't know if you can hear it.
No, I can't hear it. They took Martin Erath. They'll take anybody.
What? No, we... Oh, right. Never mind.
Yeah.
I'm dumb.
Dumb.
Where is their freak? Oh, you know what? I need to go back to the beginning of the page. They have $15 million in cap space. Can you guys take Brooks Orpik from us, please?
Use it up.
We'll take... never mind. No one.
We'll take some of your draft picks.
Holy crap, that would be so much money in their defense. They already have Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who's earning 5.5. Alex Goligoski's 5.475. Nicholas Yalmerson's 4.1. Jason Demers is basically 4. Jesus! We'll take Max Domi. They're not going to do that. They'd be the dumbest team ever to give up Max Domi.
Right, you now. Love to dream.
Although he's... You're one to talk. You still think we're going to get Patrick Kane.
Hey, that would have been a great trade.
No, it really wouldn't have, because he's a psychopath. Like, he's actually a crazy person, I think. Oh, Clayton Keller. Holy crap. This kid's got 9 goals and 6 assists. We'll take him. They're not going to do it. Anyways. All
right.
But yeah, congratulations, Arizona. You still suck.
Hey, everybody, just think about that. We could be the Arizona Coyotes.
That sucks. But yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, we're currently 1 point ahead of Carolina. We're only 8 points ahead of Arizona. So
something to think about, guys.
There you go.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, tweeting about all kinds of stuff, though not as much lately because I've been busy or lazy. I'm not really sure which. Probably because I've been watching Stranger Things, and I'm not done yet. Brandon, if you finish it, don't spoil it. Talking about Caps and Caps and Arsenal and DC United every once in a while. Skins suck. That's pretty much it. I don't know if I talk about all that much more on the Twitter. Roma with a big win yesterday over Chelsea. Suck it, Ryan. yeah, we can also find out about the show if you want to head on over to Facebook, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Get news and updates about when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other Caps and hockey related material. But Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
So go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do here. You can also go over and follow us on, I think you said this on Twitter already, at What the Puck Pod, as well as our Facebook page. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. By the way, last week, we both completely missed it. I said the call at the end of that. When I re-listen to it, I'm like, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. And I'm like,
well, if you're a Capitals fan and a Ravens fan, you should listen to the call.
You should,
but
yeah,
that's your mistake for being a Ravens fan. Not that I can talk smack. I'm a Skins fan, yeah, and we also suck.
You like that?
You know what? I do like that. And I'll like it more when he's playing for another team next season.
San Francisco.
Oh, man. They just got Garoppolo.
I know. You know, he was like, they did what? Come on,
no,
really?
Because if you look at that team right now, you got to imagine Cousins is going, they did what? All right. I'll go somewhere else.
Best of luck to Kirk Cousins. R.I.P.
He might come back.
We'll see.
They need to rebuild that freaking team.
They need to rebuild that team, that stadium. Fire the owner. Can you fire the owner? Because they should.
That's not how that works.
Yeah. All right, so let's go over games until we talk again. On Thursday, November 2nd, the Capitals are back in D.C. up against the Islanders, and that game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch it locally here on NBC Sports Washington. Then on Saturday, the Caps go to Boston up in Massachusetts. This game's at 7 o'clock at the TD Garden. And that you can watch nationally on the NHL Network, as well as locally here on NBC Sports Washington. Then, the now no longer winless Arizona Coyotes come to town on Monday, November 6th. You can watch that game at 7 o'clock. And if you're not going to the game, watch it locally on NBC Sports Washington. So please, Capitals, don't be the team that allows the Arizona Coyotes to get two wins.
Yeah, I was like, congratulations, Arizona, on getting your second win.
Don't do it. Guys, come on. Don't do it.
Don't be those people.
Don't. And then on Tuesday, the Caps travel to Buffalo on November 7th. That game's at 7 o'clock up against the Sabres. You can watch that one nationally on NBC Sports and locally here at NBC Sports Washington Plus. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all so much for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.